98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Kyler Murray has everything. He's growing into a real franchise quarterback. He is the most entertaining player in football. And if you think $40 million a year is a lot, he has got the ability to make crazy money from national endorsements in the coming years, from shoe deals to hamburgers to insurance, the stuff now reserved for Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. What Murray hasn't shown and what he needs to show is toughness, not just for his image, even though that's part of the deal, because sports fans love toughness. Football fans demand it. It's why we love Devin Booker and Chris Paul, and it's why we're occasionally frustrated with DA. It's why we loved Anquan Boldin, and we all watched as Larry Fitzgerald was pushed to a new level of physicality by Todd Haley. We know this is an issue with Murray, or at least it used to be. We saw how Cliff Kingsbury stressed how important it was for Murray to play Week 7 as a rookie, even though Murray was a little indifferent. We saw how his play broke down as his body broke down last year, and we saw that scene in L.A. when Murray wasn't exactly keen on returning to the game with an ankle injury. Right now, Murray is electric and on fire and one of the hottest players in the league. He's also fresh and healthy, but as the NFL season wears on, the bumps and the bruises take their toll on everybody, and that's where Murray is going to have to break through, sustaining his greatness when his body hurts, when the NFL makes it hard to get out of bed in the morning. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Before we get to Kyler Murray, programming note, because I just got a text from a buddy who asked me, when's the damn mustache game? It may float a little bit more in the mornings, so we're going to do that coming up at 8:15.
10 minutes.
Those of you who are clamoring for a little facial hair-related quiz sensation.
And right. Who is not?
It's 10 minutes away. Interesting blast. I agree, and I both agree and disagree with it. You are right. Sports fans love toughness. If there was a knock on Kyler Murray last year, while he did play through injury, it was that last chapter, that last game in L.A. that kind of irked fans a little bit, and he finally got back onto the field too little too late there. That's the part I agree with. The part I disagree with is, ideally, and this is pie in the sky, wishful thinking times 100, I hope we never find out how tough Kyler Murray is when it comes to playing through injury, because he's avoided it for the most part in his career, but we saw the results. An injury that was enough to affect his play but not knock him out of the field, off the field, he played through that, and the team suffered for it, in my opinion.
Right.
So, again, it's pie in the sky, but I hope he never gets hurt.
But you'd also have to concede that there was the element of whether it was his shoulder impacting his throwing accuracy, but he's also said, some of that stuff made him reticent to actually run the football the way he had been running it previously, and the offense broke down very badly because of that. And that was one of the things that Kyler Murray said they need to graduate past. They need to quit relying on him to make plays with his legs. What I've seen from the Cardinals this year is that the plays Kyler Murray makes with his legs that have been most impactful have been the scrambles when he uses it to bust open a secondary and find receivers 40 yards downfield, wide open.
Yeah, that's to extend a play.
To extend a play.
As opposed to gaining yards with his own legs.
Himself, exactly. And it's his self-preservation skills are about as good as they get for the position. And if you're looking at the long game, you want that to continue. Because Kyler Murray not playing football, being injured, I'm with all due respect to Colt McCoy, the team's not doing anything if Kyler Murray's not in the lineup. What?
That was the biggest offseason acquisition.
Okay.
Colt McCoy.
Right. Sure. Sam Acho. Ridiculous take. But the toughness thing is just something that's going to have to get better for him. When you look, here's a couple of comps for you. There are a couple of quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford, his teammates rave about how you can't keep him off the field. The guy has played with really bad aches and pains and bruises and all that kind of stuff. Very recently, we've seen examples of quarterbacks go back into football games and continue to play hurt. Derek Carr did it with the Raiders. And who else? Baker Mayfield just did it with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt his shoulder, said, I'm going back out there. That's the kind of mentality you've got to have.
Then again, it was his left shoulder.
It's not his throwing shoulder.
Yes.
It's his left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But up until now, I think Kyler Murray's been a guy that's, if I'm not 100%, I don't know if I'm doing this.
Or that, if I'm doing it, I'm not doing it the same way.
Exactly. And that's going to be just, that's part of the mental maturation.
But that's why Kyler Murray might be different from every other quarterback, on this subject alone, is because his skill set is so unique. If it is, there's quarterbacks that can go out there and they can muscle through an injury,
mm-hmm.
and they could tough it out because they're not a threat to run the football. They're going to sit there in the pocket and they're going to take punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fascinating question. Okay. Kyler Murray might be different than everybody else.
You look at Carson Wentz last week. Carson Wentz gets tackled once too often by Aaron Donald. Okay, he's thinking to himself, this offensive line was supposed to be great. It doesn't protect me. My ankles are killing me. I'm good. I'm just going to stand here.
Yeah. I sprained both of my ankle.
Right. And again, these are individual little decisions that are made that really reverberate throughout a locker room. I mean, more so than a lot of average fans understand. Because you're in an arena with gladiators. You're in an arena with guys who live to play the game. And you're in an arena with guys who are, you know, this is their livelihood. And if you don't bring that level of commitment to the cause and your teammates, the whole thing is not going to get to the elevation it needs to win a Super Bowl. And so that just one. And again, this is not a criticism of Kyler Murray. This is an evolutionary thing that must occur with him.
Yes. But I also think going back to last year, Kyler Murray playing through whatever was ailing him, whether it was in the Miami game or the Seattle game and playing through most of it, I think that was a sign in real time to his teammates. Okay, this kid can tough it out. And I never feel comfortable questioning somebody's ability to play through pain/injury. That being said, the Kyler Murray situation against LA was frustrating. Because he eventually did return,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was also an organizational failure, with all due respect to Chris Streveler, to have him in a position to have to play important football with a playoff berth on the line. That I think that was a mistake in judgment, but we shall see. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Like we said, things are about to get hairy in here.
Oh, yes it is.
Facial hairy. Mustache, not a mustache, is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Mustache.
Not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
That's your mom, and she's got a mustache.
All right, it is that time of week for America's fastest-growing facial hair-related quiz sensation, Mustache.
Not a mustache!
Not a mustache. And this is how this game works for anyone who's listening for the first time. I'm going to play a soundbite. Could be from an interview. Could be from a movie, a TV show. It could be a song. And Bickley and Murata will alternate, and they'll compete. And they'll have to identify whether the person talking or singing has a mustache or does not have a mustache. Then they could get a bonus point if they identify the person correctly. First one, the 10 points wins. If there's a tie, there is a tiebreaker. And this week's edition, because the Cardinals are going to Jacksonville, Florida, is a Florida-themed edition.
Oh, wow.
All the clues have something to do with Florida. Okay.
All right.
And
Florida.
I believe Vince won in a tiebreaker last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vince, you have the choice. Do you want to go first or
second? It wasn't a tiebreaker.
Oh, you just won straight up.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to go first or second, Vince?
I'll go second.
You're laughing that he remembered exactly how he won last
I'm laughing at that flex. That's just absurd.
It's not a flex. It was a memorable ending.
Everybody that you kicked my backside last week.
No, it was at the buzzer. We both struggled, and there was the two Gambo clues.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so
okay.
It is flex
true.
On this, Bickley. Now you're going to get flexed on.
Uh-oh. I poked the bear. The trivia bear.
It's like when the Vinny Joe trivia contestant would like talk trash and Vince would zone in where you couldn't. Anyway.
Shoot lasers out of
it. Let's do it. Right. Let's go.
All right.
So dialed in.
Just
right
the
now.
Band is fine here.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you. Bermuda,
are you deferred? Are you taking? This is you.
Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys.
That would be the Beach Boys, and that would be, I don't know, that's a good, not a mustache.
That is correct, yeah. Okay. Not a mustache.
All right.
Do you know who played the drums and bongos for that song?
I don't.
John Stamos.
John Stamos, exactly.
He is going to flex.
No points for that.
And he doesn't have a mustache either.
Vinny's going to dunk on me.
No points for that. All right, Vinny.
Yep.
Yeah, Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, can y'all feel that, can y'all feel that, jig it out, here I am in the place where I come let go.
That is Will Smith, Mustache.
That is correct, very good. All right.
Tied at two,
Dan Bickley.
Tell you this, man. In preparation for the competition, I haven't taken a in weeks. It's not an option for me. Number two is not an option. Tell you that.
Holy cow! I have no idea.
Well, that doesn't
sound
familiar.
No, it doesn't.
That's going to be hard to identify that if you don't know it.
Yeah, I don't know it. I'll guess not a mustache.
That is a mustache.
Okay.
That is Gardner Minshew. Talking about his competition with Trevor Lawrence, if you remember.
Okay.
All right. The window, the door, the garage is wide open now. Character name is fine, but if you want to flex and give me the actor, you could do it. Vince?
I'll tell you what I want to know right now before we go any further. Did the Jacksonville Jaguars win the Super Bowl last year?
No.
Will they ever win the Super Bowl?
Jason, I can't predict the future. But no.
And okay, well, I just have like 12 more Jaguars questions.
No, you don't.
This is a faulty question.
It's the first person.
Yeah, but it's the faulty question because what? He says the character's name in the clue.
You have to give me the last name.
The last character's last name is Mendoza.
Okay. There you go.
And that just came to me, by the way. And that's not a mustache.
That is correct. That's from The Good Place.
Bortles!
Tremendous television show for people who have not watched it.
Yes.
Fantastic. Although it gets a little confusing at times. But
it does. It's worth it.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, musical clue for you.
All right.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil.
That would be the fraud known as Jimmy Buffett.
The fraud?
Well, from the standpoint that he apparently is—he's not this island guy.
He's a billionaire.
Created a lifestyle for millions of people to follow that he doesn't.
That he doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Definitely a mustache.
That's correct. You got 2 points there. All right.
It's a good business model, by the way.
Oh, very.
He's
good.
A genius. 4-4.
All right, Vinny.
You always throw one of these in here.
Faux show.
This is a song about a bar in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not.
I'm going to guess mustache.
Okay. 1 point.
I'm going to flip a coin here. The Allman Brothers?
Ooh.
No, you were wrong. What was the other side of the coin?
Leonard Skinner.
That was Leonard Skinner.
It is the Leonard Skinner.
Okay. Did I get the mustache part right?
Yes,
you did. All right.
All right, 5-4. The doors been creaked open a little bit.
Okay, Dan.
Back in the early 90s, I started calling it the swamp because it was built over the 90s. I started, as you Gator fans know.
Steve Spurrier, okay, not a mustache.
Sorry, you got it. Sorry, let's skip there.
Yeah, you only need about 3 seconds of that.
Yeah
it's time to play editing or not editing.
The old ball coach there.
Editing.
That was on the recording, not the editing. But okay. All right, Vinny?
Well, if it was on the recording, then why'd you choose it?
No, I didn't know it recorded like that.
Oh.
All right, ready, Vinny?
Are you telling me there's not one condo available in all of Del Boca Vista?
That's right.
In all of Del Boca Vista. In all of Del Vista Beco.
That's right.
In all of Del Vista Beco.
That's a hysterical clip, by the way. That is Jerry Stiller from Seinfeld as Mr. Costanza. Mustache.
That is correct. So that puts the score at, by my calculation, 7-6.
7-6.
7-6.
I'm stunned you got that right. All right, let's go ahead, Jarrett.
All right, Vinny. Dan.
Jimmy had never asked me to whack somebody before. But now he's asking me to go down to Florida and do a hit with Anthony. That's when I knew I would never have come back from Florida alive.
Ray Liotta, yeah. Not a mustache.
Yeah, buddy.
Well done.
That was clutch. Okay, you now take the lead.
8-7.
8-7. This is the last clue. If you get this both correct, you win. If you get one, we go to a tiebreaker.
We're not playing a 10 again.
We're running short on time here. So this is the last clue. All right. Ready, Vinny?
Mm-hmm.
We had it all. Just like Bobby and the call.
I have to call a foul on this one. I got to throw a penalty flag.
Why?
We've used this clue before, and I know this because one of our faithful listeners had this pop up on his music, and he screenshotted it, and he said, I can't listen to it. It was 2 days ago. He said, I can't listen to this song without hearing your voice nail this in mustache, not a mustache.
Oh.
We did this, like, it was like 9 months ago we did it. Well, what is it?
It's Bertie Higgins' mustache.
But you already knew that.
Because you already asked him that.
Yeah, you asked the question before.
He's already answered it to win a game, and now he did it again. Shut up, Jared!
Let's go to the tiebreaker.
Okay, the tiebreaker anyway. The current.
This is way more representative of how this game normally runs, in case you listened for the first time last week.
No, I could repeat clues sometimes if there are long times in between and it's a themed edition, for goodness sakes. I didn't know Bertie Higgins was on your mind so often. The current coach of the current manager of the Florida, of the Miami Marlins.
All right.
Is who? Don Mattingly.
Mm-hmm.
Mattingly known in the 80s for having one of the most luxurious mustaches in all of baseball.
He did.
But how many career hits did Don Mattingly finish with?
All right, I'm gonna message my guess to Jarrett.
Wow,
my guess is in. I think I guessed high.
I would assume he's part of the 3,000 hit club. I'm gonna guess 3,111.
3,111. Vince Murata guessed 2,120. The number is 2,153.
Wow.
He would have won both showcases if this were Price is Right. That is unbelievable, Vince.
Yeah, that
guess.
Is. So he never made the 3,000 hit club?
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
He had the bad back.
All right.
Yeah.
He would have if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
But, again, a very competitive, if not controversial, edition.
Or sloppily done.
Another ridiculous episode of Mustache. Not a mustache.
A mustache. A mustache.
Coming up, we've talked about the growing buzz about Kyler Murray, but there's growing buzz about the rest of the Cardinals, and we'll get into that straight ahead. Spickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Mustache. Welcome back. Good morning, everybody. Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta, Jared Carlin, Sarah Cazell. If you enjoyed that typically ridiculous game of mustache, not a mustache, we have a very special invitation for you. If you have ever wanted to hang out with Jared Carlin or Vince Marotta or Dan Bickley or Sarah Cazell, you can do that this Friday. If you want to see Whiskey's Quicker, you can do that this Friday. And if you want to take place in the first ever live game of Mustache, Not a Mustache, Friday, Rock Bar in Scottsdale, Rock Bar in Scottsdale, 8 p.m. on Friday. It is all going down.
I will only play the game or be part of the game if Bertie Higgins and Key Largo is one
It'll
of
be Bertie Higgins and the song Africa by Toto.
Dan, do you realize how many people turned off the radio as soon as you said, if you want to hang out with Jarrett Carlin?
You shouldn't have led with that.
Yeah,
that is not true. Like, before COVID happened and we were out and about a lot doing remote broadcast, we did not get through a remote broadcast with without a listener coming up and saying, where's Carlin at?
Right. So our on-site tech people would always go, is that Carlin? No. He looks much goofier. Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, that's a tumbleweed.
Right. That's exactly right. So this is going to be fun. So that's an open invite to all our listeners to come hang with us on Friday if you wish.
Very cool.
Very cool. All right, now back to the Arizona Cardinals. This dawned on me because what I love about this time of year, you don't feel it as much in Arizona, but in other parts of the country, the East Coast, the Midwest, fall starts to move in right about now, and football seems to kind of settle in right about now. And once the season gets underway, there's momentum. And if your football team is good or your football team shows promise, this is just a great time to be a sports fan. All right. And the Cardinals have got that staring them in the face. They've got a winnable game this weekend. They win that. They're 3-0 going into their first divisional game on the road in Los Angeles with maybe the hottest player in the NFL. So this is getting good. If we were to rank the 10 most popular Arizona Cardinals at this very moment, what would that list look like? I think we can all agree Kyler Murray is one. Do we know for sure who number two is? Is it Chandler Jones? It's not?
Buda Baker.
Do you think?
That was going to be my guess, too.
Buda would be high up there. Can I throw an early wrench into the discussion?
You don't think Kyler Murray's number one?
Maybe not. Maybe it's a guy, if you want to get caught up on the word current, I mean, the door hasn't been completely closed. Look, I was shopping with my kids on Saturday, and, I did the lazy dad thing because my son just turned 16. I said, well, let's go shopping. You can pick out what you want for your birthday. And he picked out something that they didn't have it in stock, so I have to order it. So I said, well, get something today. He said, I need a new Cardinals shirt. And I said, which one do you want? And he goes, I want a Larry Fitzgerald shirt.
Wow.
Is Larry Fitzgerald still number one?
Okay, this is... wow.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if he is. I think Kyler Murray is.
I think with the momentum of the first two games, I feel like Kyler is...
I think so, too. So we'll put Larry second.
And he's out there.
Now, Larry with an asterisk second.
But you just pinged something in my head. Because Anquan Boldin was just on Patrick Peterson's podcast, and he put the odds of Larry returning at 50-50. Patrick has said the only team he comes back to is the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I've long been a skeptic. I think he's done. But if Larry Fitzgerald truly was waiting to see if this team had championship timber, you might be thinking, okay, maybe they got something. I don't know.
The possibility, okay, maybe they are championship timber. Good word, by the way. Put that in the dictionary and smoke it.
If you're in Flagstaff, you probably would.
But if they are, without some sort of door opening up for playing time availability, Larry Fitzgerald would come back and be a coattail rider,
I know,
potentially to a championship. And I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't either.
All right.
So we'll put Fitz in honorarium at number two.
On with the countdown.
At number three.
Number three.
So Buda Baker ranks above Chandler Jones. Is Chandler Jones four then? No. Who, Jarrett?
It's not all me.
You're the one shaking your head.
Well, put DeAndre Hopkins ahead of Chandler Jones.
You would?
I don't know about that.
I don't know if I would either. I think DeAndre is definitely top five, top six. Mm-hmm. But a little bit more closed off in terms of his relationship with the public and the fan base.
Yeah. You think
Chandler Jones.
Chandler's been around longer.
Yes.
I don't think Chandler has the biggest relationship with the fan base either, though.
You don't think so?
And he asked for a trade this offseason.
No, I know that. But he also, if it's in the context of the current recency bias excitement, D-Hop's been great, and he's scored touchdowns. But Chandler Jones had that historic game, and I think that counts for something.
I mean, along those lines, too, considering the longevity on the roster,
mm-hmm.
J.J. Watt would probably be the most popular player if we were just wiping out all of the criteria,
right,
but he's not number one among Cardinals.
That hasn't taken root here yet.
He hasn't really done anything yet.
No, he really hasn't.
I'm putting Chandler Jones fourth.
Okay, and then D-Hop fifth.
D-Hop fifth.
Now it gets interesting. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it is interesting because there really aren't a lot of long-tenured players that just from their tenure have become ingrained, like even a Jared Dudley type or something.
Shut up, Jared!
And as we construct the back half of the top 10, we mm-hmm. do have to keep a space open for Justin Bethel.
No longer active.
Yeah. You got to get off me with that.
Yeah. That,
all right. So 6 through 10. Where are we going?
J.J. Watt's got to be considered.
I would say probably next is D.J. Humphreys.
Yes. Oh, we forgot DJ.
Yeah.
DJ's up there.
Yeah. So DJ's probably at six, even though he didn't have the greatest of games last week.
Marcus Golden.
Chase Edmonds.
Would you rank Byron Murphy Jr. over Chase Edmonds? Because I would.
But here's another name. He hasn't played yet this year, but Dennis Gardeck. Very popular among the fan
barbarian.
Base.
Barbarian. Right? I can't get any impressions out of Vinny today. I have been goosing him for Jim Rome all day long. I can't get him to do
it. You've been doing it. We don't need dueling Rome.
Phenomenal. I don't do it well.
Do.
I just want you to do it.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Okay?
What if I start doing Jim Rome's voice, but in doing Gambo names?
Cesar Geronimo. Booter Baker.
George
Bob Bailey.
George Foster.
All right, so DJ Humphreys, Chase Edmonds, Byron Murphy Jr.
Corey Peters.
Peters would be up there, too.
I think Marcus Golden
makes it.
I think 7 through 10, though, you sort of could swap out a whole bunch of players. I think we named like the clear, if you're going to buy a jersey kind of guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of what I'm getting.
So I think they have about maybe 6 or 7 of those guys.
Yeah, but I think J.J. Watt is going to be on that list.
Like, I think Dennis Gardeck, if he would have come into the season healthy and started right away,
he
was developing almost a cult following.
Totally.
Like a Pat Burke kind of player that actually is contributing to the team. So, but because of the injury, he lost his momentum.
Couple names to watch on this list. Rondale Moore would be very close to the top 10.
There we go.
Isaiah Simmons has played very well in 2 weeks.
Rondale Moore is ascending, for sure.
Yes. And I'm going to say this. I even though Isaiah Simmons still is very raw, I like the way he's hitting people. He's running at people and striking them.
Yeah, and he looks comfortable out there.
Love that guy.
Isaiah Simmons.
Got him to do it, finally.
Text gate to 620-620. Register to participate in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Virtual Tailgate Experience fueled by M-Drive. Join your favorite Arizona sports hosts before the Cards game this Sunday, and you'll have the chance to win amazing prizes, including tickets to an upcoming game, autographed memorabilia, and much more. That's gate, G-A-T-E, to 620-620. Coming up next, there's been a storyline with ASU football through 3 games, and that's about the lack of discipline, but should we really be surprised? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
I think the plan goes with every individual group, and also, you know, with the team captains. I had a good meeting with the team captains yesterday and said, look, we got to stop this self-destructing ourselves. We just got to play smart. I don't worry about these guys playing hard or playing physical. They're going to do that. They're always going to give effort. They're going to leave everything they have on the grass. But the fouls that we pick up in a game are way too many. And now we start Pac-12 play. And you guys know, you've been involved in this conference longer than I have. I mean, it's always a battle when you play a Pac-12 team, regardless of the record. You know, it just kind of goes down into the fourth quarter a lot of these games.
Term Edwards, head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils. He joined us yesterday here on Bickley and Murata talking about what everybody was talking about from the BYU game.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the loss, which was a very, very frustrating, hair-pulling kind of loss, but the way the Sun Devils performed, completely out of sorts for most of the game. Greatly affected by the crowd noise in Provo, 7 false start penalties, 16 penalties total that were accepted, 19 or 20 that were flagged against Arizona State. Some of them were declined. I looked it up. It's the highest number of penalties this year in a college football game so far. Again, we're going into week 4. But that same day, Syracuse had 16 penalties in a game. And when you go back to what Herm Edwards said following the Southern Utah opener, and he was not happy. He called it embarrassing football because of the number of penalties. They had 13 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that obviously hasn't been corrected. So I know a lot of the Sun Devil fan base is looking at this and saying, well, if it was supposed to be corrected after week one, why is it still an issue going into Pac-12 play Saturday against Colorado? And if it continues, they're not going to win many football games the rest of the way.
There's a lot of heavy questions here. And after we spoke with Herm Edwards yesterday, I've listened to a lot of his interviews since the news of the NCAA investigation, and there are times when it sounds like he is just beaten. He just sounds like the energy and the fire isn't exactly the same.
The swag.
Yeah, and the swag, right.
Dried up.
Thank you. That's great, great points there. The swag just seemed to have dried up. And so you wonder, is that related to this? Is this something where he knows what's coming, or he knows that eventually his legacy is going to be tarnished by this? These are all very, very fair questions to ask, particularly with a football team that can't get this penalty issues rectified. Is the coaching suffering? Is the focus from the players suffering? It occurs to me that if you've got a football team lacking discipline and you've got a coaching staff telling and trying to instill discipline, that the players might look up and go, okay, really? You want us to be disciplined when you were breaking the rules? Where was your discipline? Where was your discipline that led to 3 of our coaches who may have recruited me are now sidelined? So how can you get this from me with the example you have set?
Again, we have to point out nothing's been proven yet other than the fact that those coaches are still on administrative leave. There was a time when Herm Edwards took great offense to that question because, you know, we're practicing and we're playing football. They look like a distracted football team.
They do.
And I have to tell you, Bick, I had the same thought. If it starts at the top, it reminded me, and this might jar the memory of some people, when you say that, you know, picture a team meeting. Why are we jumping off sides? Why do we have this lack of discipline?
You are right. I learned it by watching you.
Now, that was well done. Dynamite drop in there, Vinny. That's exactly right. And again, we're not reporting. We're just talking. And we're observing what might be going on here with a football program that's got a ton of experience, that has all these aspirations that seem to be on the doorstep of the football season we've all been waiting for, and they can't stop from grabbing face masks.
Well,
they can't stay on sides. It's really something that you wonder exactly how much this is truly affecting this team.
Well, and it's everywhere, too. Doug Haller had a breakdown of the penalties through 3 games on The Athletic this morning. So far, 8 penalties on the offensive line, 7 on the defensive line, 6 on the receivers, 5 each on tight ends and defensive backs, 3 on the linebackers, 1 on the quarterback. That is a widespread problem. And the old saying is, hey, with sports gambling being legal now, hey, you can bet on anything. You can't bet on anything. But if there were odds at the beginning of the season, hey, pick who's going to lead the nation in penalties this year, the odds on ASU would have been very small.
First of all, you absolutely somewhere would probably be able to bet on that.
I guarantee you can't. Who would lead college football in team penalties through 3 weeks? I don't think it's that detailed, Jared. Sorry.
But for ASU fans, though, it must be extra frustrating because wasn't the Dirk Cutter like part of the thing that they was it Dennis Erickson or Dirk Cutter that had all the penalties?
Dennis Erickson.
The coaches,
granted, Vontaze Burfict was on the team then.
That is very
true. That skewed the numbers a bit.
When Todd Graham came in, the one of the biggest things, right, was turning that around, becoming a more disciplined team and getting rid of that. So the fact that they're now back to where they were, you know, 7-8 years ago has got to be so frustrating.
Absolutely, and it just goes to show you that it's something that can be a learned tendency. Todd Graham stressed that from day one, and you can rip Todd Graham up and down for whatever you want to rip him for, and I think the first 3 years of his tenure were really good, and then it went south in a hurry. But he prioritized discipline. And I remember when ASU played Navy in a bowl game, and not only did they blow the doors off Navy.
I was there for that game.
The coaching staff from Navy compliment, wow, what a disciplined football team. And when you're comparing discipline with a service academy, you're doing something right.
Character.
Great character. 100% ball security. Great character. No hats backwards. So great character. So no earrings in the building.
So proud of these guys.
So proud of these guys.
Get yourself a haircut.
Right.
Character.
But your point here is fascinating because Todd Graham was a flawed coach, still can't coach defense worth a lick, still won't lose that wristband or the headset.
Both wristbands. He still has the ketchup and mustard going on.
But he came into a program that had zero discipline and just from stressing it, turned that into a 10-win team.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is the honest to God's truth. And it doesn't look like ASU is a well-coached team. Is that a newsflash? Is that a hot take? Of course not. Of course not. You could add 20 penalties in Provo? Okay. That's why ASU, the fact that they're already meeting with team captains should tell you something.
It should have been handled earlier.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, and it failed the first time. It's a problem. It's a concern going into this week.
And finally, I said this weeks ago, I'll say it again. The only avenue out for ASU is to have that season. To have that season that is so good that it transcends the rest of this stuff, and they're off to a kind of rocky start. Like John Wilner said, they get a safety this week and they'll beat Colorado. So this is coming at a good time. But after that, they better materialize and reach their level of talent because this thing could circle fast.
Absolutely. 9 o'clock is here. Social Studies is straight ahead with Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.